Absolutely. I even think Gary Bettman was saying in his press conference at the Cup Final that the Game 7 between Ottawa and Pittsburgh was the highest viewed in Canada in some time. So even here, though, I mean, there's a city like Nashville that's, you know, they've gone crazy for their Predators. They've really embraced the team. And, you know, we've seen something like 27 overtime games already and just one shy of the record. I mean, that just speaks to the parity. I mean, Ken Holland, I remember him saying in his end-of-season press conference, you know, all you need to do is make the playoffs, and once you're in, you know, anything can happen conceivably. So I think we saw that in Ottawa and in Nashville, who Nashville was the lowest seed for the whole postseason. So, yeah, it's been really exciting to watch, and, you know, this final's been just as good despite it being a 2-0 edge right now.
Yeah, just getting into the finals a little bit, despite being down, you know, as they are in the Stanley Cup Finals, the Predators, I don't know, maybe in my opinion, have seemingly dominated large stretches of this game, and just the run, or of the series, excuse me, but just their run to get here is equally as impressive. I mean, they swept Chicago in the first round. They only gave up 3 goals, and they got by St. Louis and Anaheim fairly easily. They lost 2 games to St. Louis and then 2 games to Anaheim. What do you make of their run, and how impressed are you by it?
Well, you know, it's been really good. Yeah, before the season, you look at Nashville's roster and you think that's a team that can do damage. You know, unfortunately, things happen during the season. Maybe, you know, it doesn't go quite as they planned. But, you know, again, if you just get in, you know, they're proving that anything can happen. If the team gels at the right time, that's all that matters in the playoffs. You know, you got to catch fire at the right time. And, you know, I think that's what the Preds are doing right now. They got good goaltending in the first 3 rounds. You know, Pekka Rinne's kind of been struggling against Pittsburgh. I don't think he's actually won a game against them in his career. So that's something that the Predators are going to hope to change at home, where, you know, they've been really good all postseason. I think they're something like 9-1 at Bridgestone Arena. So that place is going to be rocking. And, you know, I think in the first 2 games, they were the better team with the exception of maybe a period or two. So, you know, they're going to need that home crowd behind them in game 3. I know PK Subban came out and said that, you know, he's pretty much guaranteeing a win tomorrow. So we'll see what happens. Needless to say, I think Nashville needs that one to get back into this.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned Pecorini a little bit there. He has had a tough Stanley Cup Finals. Game 1 saw him give up 4 goals on just 11 shots. Pittsburgh only had 12 shots total in the entire game. And then Game 2, he gave up the 4 goals on 25 shots. If you're Peter Laviolette, if you're behind the bench, do you stick with Rinne, or do you go with Saros, who had to come in late in Game 2?
I think definitely you have to stick with Rinne. He's the guy that got you there. He was outstanding in the first 3 rounds, posting save percentages well over 900, just lights out the whole time. And, you know, it's funny, I was looking at game 2, and there was a few goals. I mean, the Malkin 2-on-1, you know, that's just an absolute bullet of a shot. Not much he could do about that one. Another one went off their own player's skate. Get Jake Guentzel's first goal. You know, he's in perfect position against the post. He moves his glove for a split second. The puck sneaks through. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't want to call it bad luck necessarily, but it's, you know, it's been a tough go for him against Pittsburgh. So, again, they've been so good at home. I think Rinne deserves a chance with the home crowd to, you know, to get another shot at it.
How do you think he turns this around? Is it just a matter of kind of letting it go and getting it out of your head? Is that all it comes down to?
Yeah, I think you got to move on from those two. You know, you got to move on and pretend game 3 is just, you know, it's a clean slate. You know, the first 10 minutes are going to be interesting. They, you know, if Nashville can really embrace the home crowd and establish dominance early, that's going to be huge. Rinne really hasn't had a chance to play with a lead much. So I think if Nashville can get a lead, you know, they're playing in front of one of the best goalies in the world, so. I think they'll be fine. I think Rinne will bounce back in game 3 and 4, and we'll see what happens from there.
Moving over to the Pittsburgh side of things, like I mentioned earlier, Nashville has seemingly dominated large stretch of the series. Going back to game 2, both Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin were held shotless in the first 40 minutes of that game, and the power play was 0-for-7, and they still won that game. How much of Pittsburgh's series lead do you contribute to luck, and how much of it is just pure skill and talent of them being the defending champs?
I think a lot of it, you know, even though they're not getting shots and then the power play struggling, you know, they find ways to get it done with their depth. You know, you look at a guy like Jake Guentzel, who's only 22 and he's got, you know, 12 goals. You know, they're finding ways to with other guys to chip in. You know, the star players, you know, they do have to be better. Phil Kessel's been great for him. He's got, you know, 20 points in 21 games. He's been a point per game player in the playoffs his whole career. Though they're going to need more out of those guys going forward, because in the first two games, Nashville really took it to them, and they were able to stifle those guys.
You mentioned Jake Guentzel. He is close to tying Dino Cicerelli's rookie record, for goal scoring in the playoffs. And the majority of his goals have come in the third period or later, and he's been a big reason they're up in this series. Is he the favorite for the Conn Smythe, in your opinion, or did you have any other names in mind?
He's been lights out. I got to look at Evgeny Malkin, his overall body of work in the playoffs. You know, I think Malkin's got something like 24 points leading the whole postseason in scoring. You know, Jake Guentzel's been a great player at every level that he's played at. He's been a point-per-game player pretty much since his junior days in the USHL. So, you know, he's scoring big goals for him right now. Sometimes, you know, in the playoffs, it's such a short-term thing. You just need to catch fire for a little bit, and that's what Guentzel's doing. I'd also throw Matt Murray's name in there. You know, he won a cup for him last year, and you know, he took over for Fleury, and that's not easy to do mid-playoffs, coming off an injury too. So, you know, it's kind of bizarre. Matt Murray could be the first goalie since 1982 to win two cups by the end of his rookie season, which is really bizarre. But yeah, I think Matt Murray's been incredible for them too. You know, what I've really liked about his game is he doesn't get rattled by much. You know, he stays calm between the pipes. He's just focused on making that next save and, you know, giving the Penguins a chance in front of him, especially with a decor that's, you know, depleted with injuries. So,
yeah, I was actually on a Current Sports with Al. I believe it was actually on Thursday, and he posed this question to me about Jake Guentzel being a favorite for the Conn Smythe. And I also brought up Matt Murray, and I think, you know, in my opinion, Matt Murray has just as much or deserves just as much credit for Pittsburgh being up in this series as Jake Guentzel was. And, you know, I wanted to ask you a couple questions about him. He did miss a large chunk of the playoffs, like you mentioned, due to injury. He came back in that Ottawa series, and he's been very impressive since, especially in the Stanley Cup final. Game one, he's only given up 3 goals on 26 shots. Game two, he only gave up the 1 goal, which took an incredible individual effort to get that goal on 38 shots. How much of Pittsburgh's success in the series does he deserve the credit for?
Oh, a boatload. I mean, especially with their defensive core, you know, they're missing Chris Letang. You know, you look at a guy like Trevor Daley, who's, you know, one of their top two defensemen, he'd be a, you know, a 4, 5, 6 guy in any other team pretty much. Especially against a team like Nashville, who has a loaded decor, you know, on the contrary. So, you know, Matt Murray's been absolutely incredible. Like you said, he's poised between the pipes. And for a young goalie, that can be, you know, that can be really tough. So, you know, I really like Pittsburgh. You get with a 2-0 lead, you got to like Pittsburgh's chances with Matt Murray back there. He's already won him a cup. You know, he knows the pressure and what comes with being, you know, a cup champ. So, You got to like Murray between the pipes for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, definitely. He certainly has fared well for them back there. Speaking of the Penguins, they are looking to repeat as Stanley Cup champs, and as I'm sure you and I both know, the last team to do that was the Detroit Red Wings back in 97-98. Do you see any similarities between today's Penguins team and that 97-98 Wings team?
Ooh. Yeah, they definitely have a lot of star power. There's no doubt about that. You know, it's tough because back then, you know, it wasn't the salary cap era, and you know, Detroit and or any other team for that matter could virtually go out and sign whoever they wanted and pay them however much they wanted to. You know, there's a fair amount of Hall of Famers on that team, and up front, you gotta like a Pittsburgh. You know, that's how they're gonna get it done. You know, they're superstars up front, and you know, like Detroit in 97-98, they had a lot of star power. I think Detroit had better depth back then, but again, you know, that speaks to the salary cap and the freedom that was allowed back then.
Speaking of the Red Wings, they are, after missing the playoffs for the first time in 25 years, they seem to be in a rebuild type mode. And I know this might be kind of a loaded question. It seems like they have a lot to do, let's just say you're Ken Holland. How do you get this team back to the dynasty they once were? Where do you start with this rebuild?
Well, they do have some good prospects coming up in the pipeline. You know, Tyler Bertuzzi looks good. Evgeny Svechnikov. On D, they got, you know, Phil Peronik and Ville Saarijärvi. I think right now the key for them is just to keep reloading the pipeline. And, you know, you look at a team like Pittsburgh, who's in it now, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you know, they were in bad shape until they got Crosby and started drafting these names and letting these guys develop. And I don't think Detroit's that far removed from the playoffs, honestly. They need help on defense, that's for sure. If they could move a forward, perhaps, to get a defenseman, that would probably make a lot of sense. Between the pipes, you know, you don't know what's going to happen with Jimmy Howard. He could be picked up by Vegas with the expansion draft or potentially moved, assuming, you know, Peter Mrazek will be protected, being the younger goaltender. So there's certainly work to do. Unfortunately, there's not a lot in the way of free agency anymore. A lot of it's got to come from within. You know, whether that's prospects coming up and developing, or, you know, even the players that are in the lineup now taking steps further. You know, guys like Gustav Nyquist, Tomas Tatar, you know, they kind of took steps back this past season. And, you know, you need guys like that to step up. And even Dylan Larkin and Anthony Mantha and Andreas Athanasiou, those guys need to take steps forward in becoming elite players in the league.
So you think it should be a matter of just kind of, you know, being patient and building with what you have through the pipeline, or do you think that free agency might be an option to consider for Ken Holland?
I think you really got to go through the pipeline these days. You know, it's possible to get to swing a trade or two, but free agency, it's very slim pickings these days. And, you know, there's the days of the big name superstars in free agency are over. I mean, everybody was expecting Steven Stamkos last offseason to be a name out there. And, you know, a day or two before free agency hits, he signs a deal and stay with Tampa. And all of a sudden the market just thinned out. So there's good support pieces in free agency, but not, you know, there's no cornerstones. Those all have to come from within the organization and through drafting and developing. So, you know, in a couple weeks here when the draft hits, it'll be an exciting day for those following the Wings.
You briefly mentioned the Golden Knights, and they actually have an expansion draft coming up in just a couple of weeks. What Red Wings, if any, do you see the Golden Knights looking at, and who do you think the Wings will definitely be protecting?
That's tough to say. You gotta look at, I think, who will be available. It'll come down to, you know, like a Luke Glendening or a Riley Sheahan. You know, I can't see the Wings leaving Darren Helm exposed. So I think one of those two forwards could be, you know, good depth players for Vegas. You know, on defense, it's tough, you know, who they're going to protect. You know, they got the likes of Xavier Ouellette and Ryan Sproul and Nick Jensen. You know, then they've got Cronwall and Erickson and Mike Green. So obviously George McPhee has a history with Mike Green, and he's making $6 million only for one more year. So I don't know if that's something that the Wings will, you know, throw out there for him, or if, you know, Vegas decides to go for a forward. And then you got the goaltending situation even. Does Vegas take Jimmy Howard? You know, that's tough to see. They're in the expansion draft throws a pick onto a lot of teams' plans this offseason. And I think we'll have a lot more clarity on where things stand once that's completed.
Who do you see? I know this is kind of a tough question to answer, but who do you see the Wings protecting? Would it be Howard or would it be Mrazek?
I think it's got to be Mrazek. I just think there's more potential there. There's more upside. You know, Howard's been, you know, he's been good for the Wings for a while. You know, but when you look at the age gap between the two, it's, you know, it just makes too much sense to keep Mrazek. And Mrazek's been good. I think he just needs, you know, he needs more seasoning, more games, and a better defense in front of him, quite frankly. Even up front, he was never getting a ton of goal support either. The Wings are one of those teams that struggle to score goals. So overall, the whole team needs to take steps forward to, in turn, help their goaltending. But I think Mrazek will be the guy going forward for sure.
Yeah, I'm certainly looking forward to this expansion draft. It's a Stanley Cup Finals aside, it's a very exciting time. That's all the time we have for this interview. Stefan, I appreciate you coming on to talk to us.
I appreciate it, Jacob. Thanks a lot, buddy.